Hello, 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 boys and girls. Hope you're well. Welcome back to the first edition of 2022 for the stories we tell with me, Mridula, or Ruby, as you might know me. How have you all been? Do you know that the last time I recorded a story for you all, it was May 2021? That is a long, long time, and I hope to never, ever, ever repeat that again. Now, as you know, usually it's my trusted partner in crime, Anika, my lovely daughter, who accompanies me when I'm reading these stories. But it just shows you it's been a very long time since she and I recorded something together, although we do read together occasionally these days. But you know, she's now 11, and I think when you're 11 you start to think you're really old and wise and all kinds of things, but you're never too old or never too wise for a good story. So I want to start without further ado, but I do want to dedicate this story, or this episode rather, to a very special boy called Roy Ganguly. He is a dear boy and one of my most favorite boys in the world, and he's stuck at home with COVID. So Roy, this is for you. I hope you get well soon, and I hope you feel better. And this is for all the boys and girls in the world who might be listening to this, who are stuck at home with COVID or any other infection and are just fed up of this whole thing. I hope that you get entertained listening, and I hope you feel slightly better. And I wish you a speedy recovery. So, today we're going to start with one of my favorite characters in Hindu mythology, I suppose you could call it. But actually, it's just stories that have gone down many, many generations. And he was called Tenali Rama, who lived in the Vijayanagar Empire in South India. And he was a very witty, very, very clever young man, much like Birbal, you know, the Akbar and Birbal stories. And actually, we're going to be reading a story about him as well today. So the story I'm going to read is called Raman, the Matchless Wit, the Adventures of a Unique Court Jester. And I'm reading from India's most beloved and oldest comic book series called Amar Chitra Katha. Raman the Matchless Wit. One day, a renowned scholar of Varanasi visited the court of Krishnadeva Raya, the great king of Vijayanagar. "Maharaj, I challenge the scholars at your court to a debate in any branch of knowledge of their choice." The court would be honored to take up the challenge. But Pandit Raj, the learned court scholar, was far from feeling honored. Later, when they were alone, "Maharaj, we dare not accept the challenge. I don't stand a chance. No scholar in the land does." "Do you mean to say there is no one here who can face him in a debate?"
"You do, Maharaj. I'll do it this very evening."
It was Raman of Tenali, the king's favorite and Pandit Raj's despair. "Thank you, Raman, but scholarship is scholarship and wit is wit. I trust you know what you're taking on."
"I do, Maharaj."
"He doesn't. He'll shame us, Maharaj. We can't..." "Pandit Raj, have arrangements made for the debate this evening." That evening, one of our most learned scholars has accepted your challenge. Here he comes with his disciples. And there comes Tenali Rama in a palanquin being carried by people. "Well, Raman, much as I dislike you, I would hate to be in your shoes," says Pandit Raj. "Please place the bundle of manuscripts here," Tenali Rama says. "Shall we begin, O learned one?"
"I am ready. Which work have you chosen to debate on?"
"Let's begin with a simple one. I expect you are familiar with the
Tilakashtha Mahishabandhana of
Tilakashtha Mahishabandhana Tilakashtha Mahish.
No, I am not. I beg your pardon, O Pandit. I have never come across that work.
So, what? Never come across it? That is surprising, said Tenali Rama.
Why, even cowherds in our city are familiar with it.
If mere cowherds in the city know what I haven't even heard of, how much more intelligent this scholar must be.
Oh, I accept defeat, O learned one. Pardon my arrogance, there is much I have yet to learn.
And the humble scholar left the court. I am grateful to you, Raman. You have saved the reputation of our scholars.
I'm curious. What is this great work you spoke about? I must confess that I too haven't heard of it, said Pandit Raj.
Raman then uncovered his bundle.
These are the tilakashtas, stalks of the sesame plant, which I have tied together with the Mahishabandhana, the rope with which buffaloes are tethered. Simple, isn't it?
Ha ha ha, Pandit Raj, he has certainly shamed us, but not in the way you feared.
The rogue, he had even me stumped.
Pandit Raj, while I hold you in high esteem for your learning, you will agree that Raman's wit is matchless.
Undoubtedly, Your Majesty.
As Raman walked away, though,
Tila Kashta Mahisha Bandhana, indeed?
I will bide my time and have my revenge, said Pandit Raj,
or thought Pandit Raj. He did not have to wait long.
Pandit Raj, tomorrow is my mother's death anniversary. I feel so sad when I think of her.
You shouldn't, Maharaj. That which is born has to die.
That I have accepted. I feel sad because I could not fulfill her last wish.
What was the wish a monarch could not fulfill?
Her craving for mangoes. But it was not the mango season. No amount of gold could buy a mango.
Mangoes, gold, Pandit Raj's head was spinning.
Maharaj, I am sorry to say. Yes, speak up, don't hesitate.
Your mother died with an unfulfilled wish. Her soul will remain restless unless...
Unless what?
Unless you invite a few virtuous Brahmins and present each one with a golden mango.
Why a few? Send out invitations to all the Brahmins.
Brahmins are learned ones, supposedly at the time.
Here's where I'll have my revenge, thought Pandit Raj. I won't send an invitation to that rogue.
Raman, however, could not resist watching the whole show. Ah, so the Brahmins will oblige the king and accept the golden mangoes for the sake of the late queen mother's soul. Ha ha ha, well, well.
After the Brahmins were fed and presented with the golden mangoes, may God bless you, sir. We need no longer feel sad when you think of your mother. Her soul is now at peace.
I am grateful to you for having accepted my invitation, said the king.
When the Brahmins came out of the palace, learned ones, today is my mother's death anniversary too, and she too died with an unfulfilled wish, said Tenali,
said Raman. As you know, her soul will be restless till a few virtuous Brahmins agree to.
We understand, Raman. We will come.
I am honored. This way, my friends.
I wonder what gifts Raman is going to offer us.
Raman took them to the backyard of his house. Come, let me wash your feet.
What are they doing? Why are those rods being heated?
My mother died of rheumatism. Her last wish was to have her legs branded. But before I could get the irons ready and hot, she died. Her soul will know no peace until I brand the legs of learned and deserving Brahmins. Shall we begin?
Brand means he was going to put hot rods on them.
You can't be serious. You are mad.
I am hurt. Don't you want my mother's soul to find peace? You did help the emperor, so I thought...
Yes, Raman, but that was different. Here, you can keep these golden mangoes, but please understand, we don't want our legs branded. But what about... What about my mother's last wish?
Look at them scurrying away like a pack of rats. What a pity we had to part with our mangoes. Let's complain to the king and have Raman punished.
But when the king heard the story, he thought, thank you, Raman, for showing me what a gullible fool I was.
What a fool!
This is no laughing matter, Maharaj. Men of learning have been insulted.
Ah, yes, that's true. I hadn't looked at it that way.
Raman should be punished. What do you suggest?
Let him pay for it with his head.
Well, I'll honor him, for I can trust Raman to take care of himself.
And Raman was called.
Take Raman to the bank of the Tungabhadra and cut off his head with one sweep of your sword.
Ha, said Pandit Raj in his mind, rid of him at last.
With one sweep of your sword, did you say?
Well, if that's my fate, I guess I'll just have to accept it like a man.
On the bank of the Tungabhadra, the king's men said, you are about to die, Raman. If you tell us your last wish, we'll try and fulfill it.
I want you to pray with me, said Raman.
For me. Please say you will.
Oh, of course we will, Raman.
I want you to cut off my neck the moment I call out to Mother Kali.
We'll see what we do.
Just a minute. Who will cut off his head, you or I?
Both of you, at the same time.
Both of us?
Yes. If you miss, your friend will get me. If he misses, you'll get me.
What is important is that I must die with the name of Mother Kali on my lips.
We won't fail you, Raman. Shall we get ready?
Jai Kali!
Where is he?
I'd like to know.
Right here, friends.
He was under the water.
Stand up, you rogue. We'll kill you without fail this time.
Now, remember the king's orders. Cut off his head with one sweep of your sword. You'll have to get his permission for a second try.
All right. Let's go to the king then.
So Raman was taken to the king. Pandit Raj's eyes became large and opened up.
What are you doing here?
The king smiled. Why haven't you executed him? When the king was told why, he asked,
well, Pandit Raj, what do you suggest now?
Let Raman be buried up to his neck and be trampled to death by an elephant.
All right then, go, do as he says.
Am I going to lose you, Raman? I can't see how you'll get out of this one, thought the king.
The guards took Raman to the outskirts of the city and began to dig the ground. At last the pit was ready.
Get in there and none of your tricks this time.
My friends, I know when to accept defeat, said Raman, still with a smile on his face.
Raman entered the pit and the guards sealed him in with mud.
Now let's have some lunch and come back with the elephant.
Aren't one of you going to stay back and stand guard?
There's no need to. You can't run away.
I won't, but I may be run over by a chariot or...
Ha, ha, ha. He is worried about being run over. We will soon put an end to all your worries.
Mother Kali,
only you can save me now, said Raman. If only someone would pass this way.
As if in answer to his prayer, a washerman came by.
Am I seeing things? Or is that the head of a man popping out of the soil?
Ah, it is. He must be a yogi. The washerman walked up to Raman. Guru Maharaj, I seek your blessings.
Oh, thank you, O goddess, said Raman in his mind. My friend, who am I to bless you? I'm an ordinary washerman like you.
A washerman? Then why have you buried yourself like this?
I am under treatment. I am a hunchback.
But surely that is no remedy for it.
There is, my friend, a simple one. Bury yourself like this for an hour and you will walk erect.
I don't believe you,
said the washerman.
Well, why don't you help me out and you'll see for yourself, said Raman. The washerman began to dig up the soil around Raman.
When Raman came out of the pit, he stood straight as he always was.
I can't believe it! Amazing, isn't it? I too carried heavy loads. I too had become deformed. I too used to stoop as you do.
Then a learned physician suggested this treatment.
My good friend, can I try it too? Why not? All you have to do is stand in a pit with mud packed around you. Then I'll stand in this very pit. Will you fill in the mud? Of course, it would be a pleasure. Remember, you will have to remain there for at least an hour. Oh dear, I have to deliver those clothes to the palace. Don't worry, I'll deliver them for you. What a good man you are, my friend. And Raman walked away with the pile of clothes, while the washerman stayed inside. On his way to the palace, Raman passed his guards who were returning with the elephant. Hurry up, said the guards. The queen is waiting for her clothes. Oh, thank God they haven't recognized me. Later at the pit. An elephant. I hope the mahout can see me. There he is. See that the elephant does not miss him. Oh my God, he's heading for me. Help! Help! Said the washerman. Hey, that isn't Raman. I know his voice. The guards ran forward. Who are you and what are you doing here? I am under treatment. A learned physician suggested it to my friend. All one has to do is... Yes, but where is Raman? Oh, you mean the kind young washerman who let me use his pit? He has taken the laundry to the palace. You mean... You scoundrel! He has tricked us again. My friend, a scoundrel? Impossible! He is such a good man. You fool! He is a scoundrel. He was meant to be trampled to death by this elephant. I don't understand, said the washerman. Then the guards helped the poor washerman to come out of the pit. My back, it's still bent. Of course it'll be bent. And very soon it will be broken if the emperor hears that you helped Raman escape. However, when the king did hear about it, wasn't that clever of him, Pandit Raj? But Maharaj, Pandit Raj, I think it's God's will that Raman should live to make people laugh. Just then, a merchant from Arabia entered the court. Your Majesty, I have some strong, swift-footed Arabian horses for sale, the finest horses in the world. You will never find better horses than those I've bought. Then send the lot to me. The king allotted a horse to each courtier. I want you to take care of these horses and have them trained. 1 month from today, a race will be held. The master of the winner will be handsomely rewarded. After the courtiers had led away their horses, Raman said, Maharaj, why haven't I been allotted one? What would a fool know about training horses? That's why, said Pandit Raj. Pandit Raj is right, Raman. I don't think you will be able to train a horse. This is the new book, so the pages are all stuck. Please let me try, Maharaj. I am confident I'll succeed. Please give me a chance. All right, Pandit Raj. Let Raman be given a horse too. Raman led the horse to his house and built a stable for it. It was a strange stable, walled in on all sides with just one little window, through which Raman fed it its daily ration of hay. A month later, the courtiers came with their horses all set for the race. Are all the horses here? All but Raman's, Maharaj. I knew he... Raman, where is the horse? Asked the king when he saw Raman there. Maharaj, it's such a fierce beast that I dare not go near it. I don't believe him, Maharaj. He's ashamed of his horse. That's why he hasn't brought it. Is that so? Maharaj, I don't lie. Please believe me, I dare not go near it. That's just an excuse, Maharaj. We all know he might have sold it, said Pandit Raj. Maharaj, I am hurt. If Pandit Raj does not believe me, let him come and see for himself. Go, Pandit Raj, and bring the horse here. To be sure, I will, Maharaj. I will personally lead it here, if it's still there. Pandit Raj went with Raman. Where is it? There, in that stable. I made specially for it. You fool! Do you call that a stable? Pandit Raj, please don't be angry. I'm not a learned man. I don't know better. Let me see the horse. This way, you can see it through the window. But please take care. The moment Pandit Raj put his head into the window, the starving animal grabbed his beard, mistaking it for hair, for hay. The starving animal grabbed his beard, thinking it was hay. Ow!
Raman, help me!
I daren't, and you can't say I didn't warn you. Attracted by the commotion, a crowd soon collected. We'll have to break the wall down. There's no alternative.
Then let's break it!
At last, the walls were hacked down. But the wretched beast won't let go. He was still holding on to Pandit Raj's beard.
Pandit Raj, it's the king's horse.
Only he can decide what's to be done. And you've promised that you would personally lead it to the palace.
But not by my beard!
Well, there is no alternative, so let's go.
Isn't that Pandit Raj? What a cruel fellow. What is he trying to do to the poor horse?
What they could not see is what the horse was doing to poor Pandit Raj. At last, the procession reached the palace grounds.
Maharaj, my horse.
Ha, 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 ha.
Maharaj, please release me from the jaws of this vicious creature.
The creature was still holding on desperately to his beard.
Pandit Raj, now do you believe me? Said Raman. I do, just let me go.
Raman, enough of your pranks now, said the Maharaj.
I beg your pardon, Maharaj.
You there, get me a bundle of hay. When the hay was brought, the horse let go of Pandit Raj's beard and ran to the hay. Clever Raman has scored yet again, yet I must pacify poor Pandit Raj. Raman, you have gone too far this time. Don't you ever show me your face again.
As you command, Maharaj.
I've sent him away, but I am going to miss him. The next morning, as soon as the king opened his eyes, he was greeted by a strange figure.
Who are you?
Raman, Maharaj.
Raman, didn't I ask you not to show me your face again?
Yes, Maharaj. That's why I've covered it with a pot.
Raman, you are impossible, and it is virtually impossible to be angry with you.
The king removed the pot that covered Raman's face. Oh, Raman, the gods themselves cannot outwit you. May you live long. And he did. And he was the court jester, the witty one, and he made everyone laugh for as long as he was in King Krishnadeva Raya's court in the Vijayanagar Empire many, many, many hundreds of years ago. So that was the story of Raman, the matchless wit. And I am now going to say goodbye because I need to look for the other story, which I can't now find, but I will record another one. But until I'm back again, I wish you all a lovely day. This is the first time I'm recording a story in the daytime rather than the nighttime. And I hope you children at home are going to have fun and stay well and get better soon. And I hope everybody else who's going to listen to this later in the day or in the evening has a wonderful evening. Lots of love and all happiness, good health and joy. Toodles!